While Bristol Bay has enjoyed a massive sockeye run in recent years, Yukon villages are facing another summer without a subsistence salmon harvest, as chum and chinook returns on the river continue to dwindle. Denali Chase Hodgden grew up between both watersheds, and for the second year in a row, they're on a mission to connect Yukon families with the salmon that are disappearing from their waters. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George has more.
One day last fall, Denali Chase Hodgden returned to Anvik, a Yukon River village of less than 100 people, home to the Decaton Athabascan people. Anvik is quieter now than Hodgden remembers from visits as a kid, but that day there was a commotion.
I heard a banging coming from down the road, and I was like, what the heck? I wonder what that is. And one of my aunts, she had two of the men from our village. She was sitting out in her yard, and they were taking down her smokehouse.
Hodgden is a commercial fisherman with roots in both Anvik and South Naknek. They're part of a drift boat crew that fishes Bristol Bay, which, in contrast to the Yukon, has seen record-breaking sockeye runs in recent years. On that trip last year, Hodgden had come home with donated fish from Bristol Bay, with plans to distribute it to the community in Anvik.
I said, well, we're bringing in fish. There's fish on the way. She's like, oh, well, we're taking down our smokehouse right now. We don't really need it. You know, and that it just absolutely broke my heart and was so devastating.
Hodgden is on a mission to reconnect Yukon villages with salmon, starting with Anvik, where their mother is from. Their vision is to support Indigenous communities' access to their traditional foods through their traditional economy of gifting and trading. For more than a decade, Yukon salmon, a critical source of food on the river, have been disappearing. This is the fourth year subsistence fishing has been closed or severely restricted. It's a threat to food security, especially in rural villages where grocery store prices can be more than twice what they are in Anchorage. For now, Hodgden, along with organizations like the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association and Tanana Chiefs Conference, are trying to fill that gap with salmon from healthier runs elsewhere in the state. For Indigenous people along the river, losing access to salmon fishing means losing a way of life. Hodgden says the fish are core to their people's identity.
The Decaton, Dene, Decaton, Athabascan people were and are inherently tied to the life of salmon. When you're looking at our language system, the months of our calendar are tied to when each one of those different species of salmon are coming up the river.
As a commercial fisherman in Bristol Bay, Hodgden thinks a lot about how to return Alaska's resources, especially its salmon, to Indigenous people. They partnered with fellow climate justice advocate Ruth Miller to work on native food sovereignty issues. And in June, they named their collaboration the Smokehouse Collective. Miller says the name is a symbol of community.
Because the smokehouse is a fundamental, central part of so many of our cultures that brings people together. The smell of the smoke, the image of your bright red fish hanging.
Last year, partnering with the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, they delivered 1,000 pounds of Bristol Bay salmon to Anvik. Ken Chase, an elder from Anvik, says last year's fish delivery was a big deal to the community.
It was good that people are still talking about it. And yeah, I had some of that fish. It's not the fish that we have, you know, the summer chum, but it was fish. It was something that we put in our freezers.
It's not a perfect replacement. Chase says there's something lost in not being able to pull fish out of the water and process it yourself. But the ability to share resources across the state is valuable.
That's the native way. If you can't catch it, somebody else can catch it and give it to you, you know, and your family, your friends, your relatives.
This year, Hodgden says complications with the low fish prices set by Bristol Bay processors, which fishermen have been protesting this summer, made it hard to secure sockeye to bring north. Cohos are expected to run soon, and Hodgden is hopeful there will be an opportunity to set aside some of those fish to donate. Still, Hodgden and Miller are playing the long game. They're fundraising to purchase their own drift net permit next year and buy freezer and processing space to increase their donation capacity. Hodgden says in the face of massive environmental uncertainty on the Yukon and concerns about overfishing and bycatch in the commercial fishing industry, Their goal is to build sustainable, resilient food systems for Native people.
This project is a climate adaptation strategy because we are beginning to tangibly rebuild the relationships between regions and reinvigorate a network of whether it is gifting or trade that will help us to face the coming storms.
Today, their focus is the Yukon, but Hodgdon hopes resource-sharing networks will benefit all of Alaska as climate change continues to threaten its food systems. In Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
And in a return to the Yukon, a seafood donation program that began in Sitka during the pandemic is still growing. Now called the Seafood Distribution Network, the program is supplying sockeye to families on the Yukon and Chinook rivers whose traditional salmon runs have crashed. KCAW's Robert Wolseley reports.
The market shift in seafood during the COVID pandemic created a problem for the industry. Unlike many other sectors, the supply, the fish, was still there. How to connect those fish with people when traditional markets vanished. For Linda Benkin, director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, it was about connecting the dots.
So we worked with the local processors here to figure out what fish was stranded by markets being closed, by restaurants being closed, the supply chain disruptions, raised money, bought fish from fishermen that was sort of stranded products, and then started distributing it to people in town that told us they were in need. So it was really, you let us know. If you need seafood, we'll provide it.
And that's how Alpha's seafood donation program got started in 2020. Basically, a processor-to-doorstep delivery service for people who were having trouble getting by. It didn't take long for word about the program to get out.
And then we started hearing from people outside Sitka that there was need and people really wanted seafood. So we did a distribution with Sea Alaska, for example, that reached every community in Southeast Alaska. And we did distributions in the lower 48 to tribes along the Columbia River, to Anchorage military families, to communities in Western Alaska. So sort of where we heard there was need, we found partners to work with to make that happen.
Benkin credits Sitka-based processors, Seafood Producers Co-op, Sitka Sound Seafoods, and Northline Seafoods, along with tribes and tribal organizations across the state, for helping make the connections that kept the program going. On paper, it sounds like an impossible undertaking, delivering 645,000 seafood meals across the Pacific Northwest and Alaska. But Benkin says it conformed to basic Alaskan values.
Alaska is a big state, but we're also a small state, and the communities really care about other communities. We have a lot of relatives in different parts of the state, and that there is clear reason for us to share between those areas that have a lot and those areas of scarcity, but the infrastructure isn't really there. So that's what we've been working on developing, is that infrastructure in Alaska so Alaskans can benefit from Alaska's fish.
A grant from the Alaska Community Foundation got the seafood donation program rolling. A regional food systems grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture helped ramp it up. But just the energy of regular Alaskans is helping fuel things now. In a pilot project in Dillingham this June, Alpha organized a drive to collect subsistence sockeye for communities affected by the crash in Chinook and Chumstocks. Natalie Sattler is the program manager for Alpha.
We worked with a lot of community members and locals in Dillingham in the Bristol Bay area to help us collect seafood, and it was all subsistence donations, and within 1 week we were able to collect 5,000 pounds of sockeye, and folks were just, they rallied support, they went down to their set net sites and were just kids, families, everyone just, you know, picking fish and donating it and getting it ready to ship out.
This year, the sockeye will be going to communities on the Yukon and Chinook rivers, and besides providing food, Benkin says the fish are intended to keep food traditions alive.
What we've heard from people in these communities that aren't able to harvest fish themselves right now because of scarcity is that they really wanted round fish, because being able to process that fish as a family is, and as a community, is really culturally important.
The pandemic and the salmon crash have been a 1-2 punch for many communities in Western Alaska. In a news release, Representative Mary Peltola said programs like Alpha's Seafood Distribution Network were a critical part of the rebound. low salmon abundance is an issue that needs to be addressed at every level, from the federal government down to individual communities, and efforts like this are an important piece of that larger goal, Peltola said. Reporting in Sitka with help from Brooke Schaefer, I'm Robert Woolsey.